Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again here on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. You know, ordinarily I'd love to go do an on-location interview, but I've convinced my guest to come in and interrupt her work, working on a mural installation, and that would be Jeanette Murray from Ben Bell's Project. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me. It's
That's great.
To be here.
And so you said, you jumped in here, said, I've got grout underneath my fingernails, I got goo on me. So what's a mural install all about, and how is that connected to your wonderful nonprofit, Ben's Bells?
Well, Ben's Bells is all about kindness, and an important part, we believe, of helping to create a culture of kindness is having the message out there a lot, where people see it as a reminder to be kind, because we believe most people are kind, but there are many, many different reasons that we may get stressed out or rushed or whatever, where we sort of almost forget because
That's
we're
exactly.
not attending to it. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of messaging around kindness, and one of the ways we do that is through these very large scale mosaic murals. And we partner with many, many different organizations to create them. And this particular one is at St. Elizabeth Clinic, and it's a big kindness themed mural that should be absolutely stunning when it's finished.
Wonderful. Let me introduce Jeanette. She's the founder and leader of Ben's Bells. It actually was started 10 years ago, and the most simple kindnesses of strangers and friends sustained her and her family after her son Ben died unexpectedly just before his third birthday. So as you're going to hear today, this whole idea of inspired gestures helped her through, and thus she turned it around and created the Ben's Bells Project, which is really a community art project that encourages, celebrates, and teaches kindness through the painting and assembling of tiered bell chimes, outside art murals, as she mentioned, and then the fun part of belling people who are peer nominated for continuously extending kindnesses to others. Before becoming full-time executive director at Ben's Bells, Jeanette was on faculty at the University of Arizona teaching discourse analysis, and she's grateful to have that opportunity now today to combine her passions of teaching, researching, and community building, as well as my guest is hands-on art in her evolving role here at Ben's Bells. So the murals are one thing, but the whole construction of the bells, for those who, we of course, got streamers from all around the country, give us a visual presentation of what a Ben's Bell looks like.
Ben's Bells are beautiful, beautiful wind chimes, but they're comprised of ceramic pieces, and there's sort of a large piece that we call the centerpiece that's shaped like a flower, and then three beads, and then there's a rusty bell at the bottom. And so we always say by the time one Ben's Bell is put together, at least 10 different people have worked on it. So those ceramic pieces, the people are making from scratch, mm-hmm. you know, the raw clay. So you may sit and sculpt, work on a bead, and then that bead will get kiln fired, and then somebody you don't know will glaze that bead. And so by the time the whole thing is put together, it required a group of people who don't know each other to produce it. So they're very symbolic of community mm-hmm. and connection, and this idea that we're in this together.
And then the idea of them being gifted. How does that work?
Right. So after Ben died, I just became very, very aware of how desperately I needed kindness. The yeah. simplest kindness meant so much more to me during that time than it ever had in my life. And so the bells are a way for us to talk about that, about the power of kindness, and about the ability each of us has to improve our kindness level, how much mm-hmm. kindness we spread mm-hmm. by being very intentional. We talk about intentional kindness. So what we do with the bells is that we randomly distribute them. We just randomly hang them for people to find. So you may be out walking your dog, or, you know, taking a run along the river path or something, and see one hanging. It has a tag that says, you have found a Ben's Bell, take it home and remember to spread kindness. And so we've hung out over 30,000 of
wow,
them
wow.
so far, all over the country. So that's one way to get a Ben's Bell. The only other way to get one is to be belled, and that's what we do here in Tucson. People can nominate somebody who is kind, and it might be somebody they know well, or it might be somebody, you know, who, you know, is their child's crossing guard, or mm-hmm. who makes coffee at the coffee shop where they go every morning, or whatever. And then we have a committee that reads those, and we choose one every week, and we go and we surprise that person with a Ben's Bell, and then they are honored on TV, radio, and in the newspaper every week.
And in fact, that's in, of course, the message here, of course, is then to spread the wealth. So you know
exactly.
that just causes the ripple effect.
Exactly. And you know, people we talk about you get to choose this. You get to choose kindness. And one of the other things I often say is that after Ben's death, I realized I was walking around looking like an ordinary person on the outside. Yeah. You know, if you didn't know me, you couldn't tell by looking at me that I was dying on the inside. And anytime somebody would do the simplest act of kindness for me, just a connection, like nice eye contact and a smile, or holding open a door, or, you know, if I drop something, picking it up and handing it back to me, that these little connections were like handholds for me. And I found myself wanting to tell people that, you know, I know you think it's no big deal what you just did, but it's really, really important to me right now. You know, this is what I'm going through. And I didn't do that because I knew people would, you know, be freaked out by that. But Ben's Bells is the way that we get to have that conversation. And so it started out with just the bells, and we hung out the first 400 bells on the first anniversary of Ben's death and had no idea what it would turn into. Right.
Exactly.
But what happened was everybody who found a bell had a story about why the bell was significant to them. And so, you know, what we realized is there is a lot of pain out there. There's a lot of grief that's under the surface that you can't see. And there's a lot of need for connection.
Well, and your organization being founded 10 years ago, you really set the foundation and the growths, because I have to imagine in the last 5 years, with the economic distress and the other dysfunctional things that are going on around our country, around the world, that you folks are more primed to now be part of a positive part of this. I will call it a movement, actually.
Oh, I like that. Thank you. Yeah, the growth of Ben's Bells has been very, very steady and rapid and organic. And you're right. In the last few years, we've seen exponential growth. And I feel fortunate and humbled that we have something to offer that people want. It seems like, and we know this to be true based on some major tragedies that have happened in our country, that, you know, people really need to do something
exactly
with their pain and their grief. And they need something to put their hands on. And they need something to offer hope. And they need to commune. And they need, and Ben's Bells, the sort of whole thing, provides that. Something tangible to do, plus the symbolism of the connectedness that, you know, that helps hold us up while we grieve, while we feel pain.
So my question would be then, Jeanette, did you have that model all figured out starting into this, or did it dawn on you as you were living through it?
Well, the bell, it's all started with the bell. And so, but it's not just the bell. You know, if we went and purchased wind chimes and hung them out, it wouldn't be this. You know, it's right. People sitting and working with clay. So there was something there, and that's what we did while we were grieving really hard. So friends and family would come and we would sit, and it doesn't require any artistic ability. So there was no sort of, you know, pressure judgmental built in or judgment, right?
And or so even instructions. Just, you didn't even instruction.
Right. Uh-huh. It was really, really, it was just enough to do, but it didn't distract completely, because, you know, sometimes we want to distract completely from our grief because it's just too much to bear, and that doesn't necessarily allow us to move forward. But this is just allows us to do something with our hands while at the same time communing. And and so, like I said, when we put them out for people to find, we found that everybody had a story, and that the bells were very powerful to people.
Yeah.
And that amazed me, because for me it was, you know, it was about Ben, and it was a process for me and my family about Ben. But once we let them out, when we let them go, and they found their people, those bells, you know, it sort of illustrated what we all know sort of intellectually, that people, there's stuff going on with people all the time, but it was wow, there's a need out there for people to be able to process grief and to grieve and to feel connected while they do that.
And I think you're right about the putting it out. In fact, today at Tucson Medical Center, the Quilts for a Cause mm-hmm. is auctioning off over 250 quilts that have
Beautiful.
Been donated from all over the world to here in Tucson to generate funds to assist in the pursuit of research for cancer. And the stories that come with each quilt and why someone chose to donate it and get it out, get it, kind of set it free to set it to fly.
Right.
It's really compelling.
Right.
Well, the other thing that prompts me is that, of course, the whole artist and community took off wildly after 9/11,
mm-hmm.
particularly knitting and crocheting and beading and jewelry making.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can be traced specifically to the very things you're talking about, is people searching the safe haven of community with others, and then a need to use some physical means to espouse that.
Exactly. It's amazing.
An entire resurgence of the knitting industry that, mm-hmm. you know, my generation, I think my grandmother taught me it, but
I can knit.
I did it, but then I gave it up. But in, you know, needle pointing and so on, that
right.
came back at the same time.
Right. It's amazing.
Now, I know, of course, that the another profound role you folks are taking is to establish a new center in Newtown, Connecticut, taking care.
We are. That was just sort of beautiful the way that all came about. We as an organization and as a board and a staff have a lot of discussions about, you know, what is it that we do? What is at the core of what we do? Because we can't respond to every tragedy.
Yeah.
So grief response is actually not what we do. We're about creating community and togetherness and this having this conversation about kindness and contributing to research on kindness and programming for kids. But after the tragedy happened in Newtown, you know, obviously all of us were incredibly, incredibly moved, all of us across the world. I think Tucson, you know, we were very moved having been through an experience here. But the reason we went to Newtown is because we had so many people from Newtown contact us and say, we want you to come. Right. Because one thing that we know about grief situations is that so many people want to help that it can actually be burdensome to the community.
Right.
And so one of the beautiful things about Ben's Bells is that it's not a burden. We can kind of go in quietly, hang bells, and leave. And then, you know, if you are walking down the street in Newtown, Connecticut, and there's a bell there, you can walk right by it. You don't have to have any responsibility to it. Right.
Or obligation.
Right. So what we did was we saw an opportunity to work with our community in Tucson, who was so badly needing to do something to help Newtown because everybody here is still raw.
Right. That was the big. We're from Connecticut. And to be here on the other side of the country, not being able to do something. It was
right.
You were just kind of hanging for those days.
Right. So we decided to be very conspicuous on this end in Tucson. And the press came out and they said, you know, Ben's Bells needs you to come down and help make bells for Newtown and write kindness notes to Newtown. And the money came in and the volunteers came in and we had 1,000 Ben's Bells made in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Which is amazing. So then we took a small core group of Ben's Bells people, 6 of us, and we flew there and we met only with the volunteers who had contacted us. So 100 volunteers showed up that morning, freezing cold. It was 17 degrees and we met outside and we handed out all the bells to them and then off they went and they put them out.
Put the fairy dust from the Southwest.
And we flew home just like that. Well, the stories we got back were, as you can imagine, you know, amazing, beautiful. The people there just got it, what Ben's Bells means. You know, it was the finding of a Ben's Bell was so much more than finding some sort of trinket. They understood the underlying message and felt what we wanted them to feel, what we hoped that they would feel is that support that's coming at them from all of these different angles.
That's great.
So there was a big push to want to actually make them there because the people wanted to have that experience. So that was the second trip. I went back and trained them all how to do it. And so there's a core group of volunteers who are just incredibly organized. And so after the week, we had produced a lot more Ben's Bells. And what I'm excited to tell you, I haven't told anyone else, is they're being hung right now, those bells.
This morning. Great timing.
So, yeah.
And who knows if at some point as this movement of yours, I'll say it. It's not. It's going beyond a project, Jeanette, whether you realize it or not, couldn't spur other calls and then your gifting the process to others, because that's really what you're talking about,
exactly.
The process.
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned in your exciting dialogue there, and by the way, for those who just tuned in, we're speaking with Jeanette Murray from the Ben's Bells Project. And you can go, in fact, to www.bensbells.org. Research on kindness. So let's talk about that. Of course, it smacks right back to your faculty and your role at U of A.
Well, I love that stuff, right?
Exactly. That's
so,
you.
Yes, and there didn't used to be a lot of research on kindness, but now there is. Now there is. There are a lot of people who are researching it. It's a difficult thing to measure. And, you know, some people are, you can't measure it, but there are a lot of clever people out there who are figuring out ways to measure it. And we are partnered with the University of Arizona with the Norton School there, and there's several different professors who have an interest in what we're doing based on their own research interests, because what we're doing may be a little bit different than what's going on in other places, because the programming we offer into schools is also offered into businesses, is also in the prison system,
yes,
is also driving around town, you know, with a green Be Kind sticker on the car. The message has been very accepted by our community at large. So the practice and the teaching that the kids are getting at school is getting reinforced in a very organic way for them versus a very sort of structured curriculum. And
which,
so,
of course, we know in today's educational system, the more organic we can make it, the more apt the children will really grapple with.
Right. And the more apt that the schools themselves are going to incorporate it, because what the programming we do doesn't take away from, you know, teaching to the standards. And what we found is that teachers who really get into it, love it and do more and more and more, because what they see are results in their classrooms that they like, and they like the way that the children respond to the opportunities for practice, and they understand that that makes those children more prepared to learn when they're feeling more comfortable, happier, safer in their classroom.
When you see your programs and you step back, I assume you're doing ethnography and watching people as they're doing this.
Absolutely.
As part of the research model.
Mm-hmm.
To see the joy in the eyes of children, I suspect, is not unlike the joy in the eyes of those who are in prison doing this, or those in certainly business who might see. Some of us would say, well, that's a former prison anyway. Joke aside, but you know, that this transcends the actual environment, in other words.
It absolutely does. And so our message is very much, you know, that this is, we used to sort of think kindness was a personality trait, and
mm-hmm,
that was it. But now
right.
What we know is it's more like a life skill that you can, you know, certainly some people, you know, and there's a lot of happiness research and stuff, too, that
right.
says we're born with a certain sort of set point for some of this stuff. But there's a great percentage that is under our control that we actually get to affect. And so looking at kindness as a life skill is actually very exciting, because what that means is that people who are struggling with relationships can actually learn to do better. You know, sometimes the question is, you know, what is kind? What is kind to do? And that's part of the discussion that we have, and it's sort of fascinating. But basically, we can learn to connect with each other in ways that don't intrude on each other, if we are conscious about it and if we focus on doing that. And that's exactly what we're trying to do with Ben's
Bells. And indeed, that's a life skill. So that's a different approach that takes a tremendous amount of self-awareness
exactly.
to know, you know, that maybe you're playing the music too loud. So how do you tune it down so people will accept and see the beauty of what you're offering?
Exactly. It's about self-regulation.
Yeah.
And self-regulation is something that's been long studied. So and what we have also found with our programming is that the Be Kind message, in its simplicity, allows people to access it easier than when we talk about character
mm-hmm,
traits
right.
in a lot of different ways, right? So we can talk about respect and integrity and all of these wonderful traits, but we can actually package all of those into Be Kind. And it gives us an easy and shared language, you know, with which to operate on. So, and it's hopeful and it's optimistic, and it's sort of a we're in this together sort of message, because it's not like, you know, you're just kind or you're not kind. We
mm-hmm.
all know, we all have that, you know, sort of part of us inside.
That's
of us
right.
We all know that
goes, yeah.
exactly. And we know that if we focus on, if we feed, I'm going to this Good Wolf, Bad Wolf story. Do you know that story?
No, please.
Native American story. It's a wonderful story. And it's a grandpa, and he's talking to his grandson, and he says, you know, grandson, all of us have a battle going on inside of us between two wolves. And I tell this story to kids all the time, because it seems like it's a relief for people to hear that all of us have this inside of us, right? So the grandpa says, these two wolves are battling for survival, a good wolf and a bad wolf. And the bad wolf is that, you know, greed and selfishness and rage, and you know, all of us have that inside of us. And then the good wolf is the sharing and the giving and the kindness, and all of us have that inside of us. But those wolves are battling for survival. And the little boy says, well, grandpa, which wolf survives? And the grandpa says, the one that you feed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's sort of what we're talking about. It's about feeding the good wolf, being very intentional, recognizing that we get to choose that. And that as we practice kindness, as we, and I mean literally practice it, we get better at it. We get the physiological effects of it. We feel better. Our relationships are better. And then that feeds on itself. That good wolf gets stronger and stronger. The bad wolf gets weaker and weaker. And it's something we can actually do together mm-hmm. as a practice. And we believe that if we focus on it and we talk about it and we celebrate it and we have it on our news and we have it in our newspaper and we have it on our bumper stickers and we have it in murals, and we believe that does something, and that's what we're measuring now.
Well, and I think honestly, you, whether we realize it or not, that we have a natural frontier that allows this to happen here in the Southwest, I believe, having moved from New England
mm-hmm.
and growing up in the Midwest, is we have sunshine.
Right.
You know, we have a lot of people that recognize the power of the outdoors, you know, in terms of natural stress relievers.
Absolutely.
As it played out. I mean, you just look at the kind of folks of us outsiders that move to become insiders, if ever we could call it that, that it adopts a different pace than the rest of the world.
Definitely.
And I think that's the challenge is, you know, do I go build my Ben's Bells for the afternoon or do I do email for another 5 hours? You know, I think those are the other messages, is teaching that variety and breaking away and searching out the right community to be supportive.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, the other thing about the good wolf, bad wolf, of course, there's also the judger, the learner.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, in my mind, I've had an intuitive reading done that says I've got a black panther versus a flippy-dippy golden retriever. So there's always a yin and a yang in your life.
Absolutely. And it kind of comes down to this this need all of us have to be independent and to be connected. And so we're always trying to figure that out. You know, how do I connect with you without interfering on your independence? And so there's it's always what we're playing with. So when we talk about kindness, we talk about, okay, so is it kind to get right in there or is it kind to give somebody their space?
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about, well, how do you make those decisions? So there's a lot of actual learning that can happen and teaching and practice.
Well,
and
we've talked about the effect you've had on your children's programs. I would venture to say perhaps another venue is, because so much research now is being done for the elderly and mm-hmm. for those of 78 million of us baby boomers realizing we're going to do that at some point in time, is that as much as we talk about intellectual stimulation and the right diet and mm-hmm. the right exercise plan, but the community and the social connection is weighing out more and more vital for the longevity of life, isn't it?
Absolutely. And social disconnectedness is one of our greatest problems in this country.
Yeah.
I think that the research is like 1 in 4 people is so disconnected that they don't have somebody to tell a problem to, serious problem to. 1 in 4 people. So social connectedness is vital for us in all stages of our lives. And we see it a lot with senior citizens, who are very still social connected, will thrive.
Yeah, that's exactly
more than
right.
If they're on their own. So.
So your team's putting mural up right now. Mm-hmm. Where are they in the process?
By the end of the day today, all the tile will be on the wall,
okay.
And it's beautiful. This is a partnership with the University of Arizona. So the art students at the University of Arizona designed it. And so the student from U of A, his name is Joe, and who designed it is out there, and he's working with Colleen, who's from Ben's Bells, and then they have this whole team of volunteers who are putting the tile on the wall. Tomorrow it will be grouted and it'll be done. Tomorrow.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I know I've seen benches around the community as well.
Yes, we have benches. We have over 35 of these large scale murals in Tucson.
And plans for additionals?
Oh yes, they're going up at a couple a month.
Is that right?
So big people are really interested in it because it's a very community hands-on thing that you get to do.
And all the products that are used to make Ben's Bells, where do they come from?
Well, all the clay and stuff we source from a local source here, and then the bells are from India Arts out of San Francisco.
How wonderful.
Yeah,
so you've
got
a global reach in that regard,
exactly.
too. And so the model you've created, Jeanette, do you see it being adopted other places?
Well, it is being. We have 8 different communities across the country who are already making Ben's Bells in their area. And we're working. Our board is committed to sort of developing what our expansion model looks like as far as, chapters and all of that. And that's where we are right now. The expansion is definitely happening.
At 10-year mark, congratulations. What an anniversary.
Thank
For those
you.
Interested in contributing, again, it's bensbells.org. And Jeanette Murray, thank you so much. Congratulations. And God willing, you're going to continue on for who knows how long.
Thanks for having me.
You
I
bet.
Appreciate
My pleasure.
It.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it. Going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.